Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you on today's Basic Gospel program. If you have unanswered questions concerning the Christian life, maybe a Bible passage, or perhaps an issue you're finding hard to deal with, well, give us a call right now. We want to talk about it with you. That number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. But we want you to call right now because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's a great passage for us today. It's out of Romans chapter 7, and it's verse 4. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. So we were under the law at one time. We were under the law of sin and death. We were dead spiritually, separated from the life of God. So who did we belong to in that condition? Well, we belong to sin and death. That's who we belong to. But Jesus set us free from that. He released us from the power of sin and death through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And now we belong to someone else. We belong to Jesus Christ, to the one who was raised from the dead. And we belong to him in order that we may bear fruit for God. So there's a benefit in belonging to Jesus Christ, the fact that we will bear fruit for God. Yesterday, we talked about a passage out of Colossians saying that when Christ, who is our life, appears. So if we're going to get to know ourselves, we need to get to know Jesus Christ. And here's a passage that really underscores that, the fact that we belong to Jesus. We are connected to him. We are in union with him. We are one with Jesus because of his finished work through his death, burial, and resurrection. And so if we want to know what life is all about, if we want to know what he has for us, if we want to know what his desires are, then we should say, hey, I want to get to know this one I belong to.
Yeah.
I mean, I belong to him. He purchased me with his blood. We are connected. We're one with one another. So I want to get to know this Jesus. And the benefit, as we talked about yesterday, is the fact that we will get to know ourselves.
Right.
And that is so vitally important. What it is to really be human, what it is to really reflect the glory of God, what it is to truly be a child of the living God. And we're going to learn all of that as we grow in our knowledge of Jesus, as we really learn about this one that we now belong to. And through that knowledge of Christ, we're going to bear fruit for God. Well, what is that fruit for God? Well, it's going to be the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So we're going to see that. And that is not only going to be beneficial to us, but it's going to be beneficial to every aspect of life. It's going to be beneficial in every other relationship. Can you imagine marriages where both husband and wife are bearing fruit for God in that relationship?
Wow.
What a blessing that it's going to be in marriage. To have two people that are bearing the fruit of love one toward another, two people bearing the fruit of joy, being content and joyful because of their relationship with Christ, two people bearing the fruit of patience one toward another. Can you imagine how that would just totally revolutionize a marital relationship
absolutely.
And marriage at large? So this idea of growing in your knowledge of Christ Jesus, it's not just a theological thing. It's not just for ivory tower stuff. It's not just, you know, for things relegated to the halls of seminaries or theological schools. No, this is for practical, everyday, real life living. If we want to do the best in our jobs, if we want to have the best relationships that we can, if we want to have a measure of peace and joy and contentment in life, all of that is going to come as we grow in our knowledge of God, as we learn about this one that we now belong to because of his finished work.
Indeed. Well, the finished work is really finished, and we appreciate the fact that, Bob Christopher, you have shared those thoughts with us today. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We want you to be a part of it. 844-322-2742. That's the number in the U.S. and Canada. We'd love for you to come in right now and pose your question or your particular issue with us, and we'll be glad to talk about it on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And friends, if it's June, then it's the end of our fiscal year, and we want to invite you to be a part of the blessing of supporting the greatest message this world has ever heard or ever will hear. The message you hear every day on Basic Gospel, as a matter of fact. I speak, of course, of the message of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, offered freely and abundantly to you and me and to everyone. It is the message, and we all have the privilege of taking part in getting the message out to as many people as possible by every means if possible when you give to support Basic Gospel. And to help us reach the needed amount by the 30th, which is only 6 days away, as I've said, the end of our fiscal year, we have a dollar-for-dollar matching gift challenge that doubles every dollar that you give up to that amount. It's a $20,000 matching gift, and we ask you to help meet that challenge with your gift today. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. And by the way, when you make your gift, be sure to request your copy of our resource called Love Is, an in-depth look at God's love for you and me. It's our way of saying thank you for supporting the message of grace in Jesus Christ. Again, donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net, but for sure, by the 30th, just 6 days away. Once again, we want you to be a part of this edition, 844-322-2742. If you have a question or some issue you're dealing with, this is your good opportunity to call and speak with us right now. In the meantime, Bob, a question from a YouTube viewer. Does God intervene? And this is a question I think probably all of us have, this type of question as we grow and mature in the Lord Jesus. He says, does God intervene on car purchases? I prayed and said, if you don't want me to have it, then make it not happen. Well, it fell through, and as a matter of fact, did a couple of times. Is that God really intervening in my life?
Well, it's hard to say if God is intervening and orchestrating it so it won't happen. There may be other reasons that it didn't happen. And that may be of benefit to you. I know a lot of times we move forward because we really want something, and we have all of these caution signs, warning signs going off inside of us, these red flags that are flapping in that wind really hard, saying, hey, don't move forward, don't move forward, don't move forward. But yet we want something so badly that we will jump ahead. And sometimes when we do that, the circumstances just work out where we can't get what our flesh wants. So we have to realize that can be how things work out, how things kind of unfold as far as our day-to-day decisions. But I think if you're praying, and I think that's something positive for all of us to be doing when it comes to decisions. We need to put those before the Lord, and we want to make sure that these decisions are something that we think through, that we take in information from the Word of God and let the Word of God shape how we choose to buy things or, you know, other decisions that we make. We just don't want to do that, you know, quickly or rashly or any of those sort of things. We want to have a little patience. We want to have some reasonable thinking through each and every one. And so I think it's a positive thing to present these requests to the Lord. To do as you did and say, hey, if you don't want me to have this, then make it happen. And then when it doesn't happen, don't try to press it and see if it'll work the second time. Just take that as a good solid no and move forward. Right. Maybe now's the time not to get a car. Maybe you need to wait, and there may be all kinds of reasons for waiting, which will become apparent over time. So I think you've made an excellent decision in praying about that, and now the fact that it's fallen through, then I think you just rejoice in that decision and say, thank you, Lord, and move on.
Absolutely. Great advice, Bob. Thank you for that. And I hope this viewer, hope you're listening, and that's a help to you as well. You know, I've kind of been through that myself a time or two, and I've kind of come to the conclusion, you know, that God gave us a good brain. And if we look at the pros and cons of things, you know, we can kind of figure those things out as we go.
Yes, indeed. And that's where God has given us some liberty.
Mm-hmm.
We get stuck in the mud oftentimes trying to figure out God's perfect will for us.
Yeah.
And we might have two job opportunities, and we don't know which one to take, mm-hmm. and we're scared to death that if we take job A, we might be missing God's will for us in job B.
Yeah.
And so instead of making the decision, we just sink deeper and deeper and deeper into the mud, and fear just grips us, and we're paralyzed by it.
Yeah.
Well, God has given us some freedom. So if job A and job B, if in both you can live out who you are as a child of God, then you have the freedom to choose either job A mm-hmm. or job B.
Right.
And so at that point, you just say, well, which one is more suited to you? Which one do you want? As far as purchases, a lot of times we get caught up in our culture, and our culture says, if you want something, go get it. And it doesn't matter if you have the money. It doesn't matter if you have the wherewithal to make the payments on it or whatever that might be. If you want it, go get it. That's what our culture says.
That's right.
What the world says today. And we get caught up in that so often. So I think in praying, we can kind of put a curtain around us, so to speak, and say, hey, I want to make this decision apart from what the culture is trying to tell me to do, or apart from what the world is trying to tell me to do. I want to look objectively at my situation. I want to see, do I have the money to make this car purchase? Mm-hmm. Do I have the money to make this house purchase? And if not, I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait, and I'm going to save up, and when the time's right, then I can do so, and I can do so with joy in my heart, and knowing that I'm not going to put myself in bondage to debt for years and years and years and years.
Absolutely. Well, good advice again, Bob. Thank you for that. Again, friends, we got plenty of open lines at 844-322-2742. Your opportunity to come in and speak directly with us here at Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher's here. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4 has been kind of a puzzle for Don, who lives in Austin, Texas, Bob, and he says, I've always wondered about this passage, and the passage says, now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. And he goes on to say, Revelation is very descriptive on what's being observed by John until this particular part. It is fascinating to me because we don't know what was observed and apparently don't need to know this information during this time on earth. Obviously, I can't even ask the great folks at Basic Gospel what was observed, but can you guys at least shed some context on this particular verse? That's from Don in Austin, Texas.
Well, a couple of things I think are interesting about this passage. When we read about thunders, there are several other passages in the Word of God that make us think that he's talking about judgment. And here maybe the judgment on the lost, the judgment on the dead is so horrific that it's not something that can even be penned or voiced or put in the Word of God. But that's just speculation. We don't know. We don't know what was said at this particular time. But that's one of the things that thunder represents in the Word of God. The second thing I think that's important for us to understand is this word that we hold in our hands is truly inspired by God. It's not a bunch of stories that have been made up. It's not a bunch of things that come out of man's imagination. This is really God's word being pushed through the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit as he moves men to write down the very words of God. And here we see an example of that. John wasn't going to make up something. He wasn't going to write down something out of his imagination. He was going to write down what he heard from these angels through this thunder, what the angels said at that particular time. So I think it gives us some confidence as far as the Word of God is concerned, that this truly is the Word of God. Yeah. And when Paul writes to Timothy and says all of Scripture is inspired by God, we can know that that's exactly true, that these truly are the words of God for you and for me.
Yeah.
And when we look at it, the overall context or content from start to finish, the Word of God to you and me is God's testimony concerning Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the story of the Bible.
Yeah.
So we have no earthly idea what was said here. It was sealed up. And if we need to know about it, God will reveal it to us at the right time, at that day. So he goes on to say, but that in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be fulfilled, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. So whatever was said through these seven thunders, that is going to be fulfilled. And I think at a point in time, it will be revealed and made known to us.
Wouldn't you just like to take a peek in there, though?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of those passages that piques our curiosity.
Indeed.
And our imaginations can just run wild with these things. But I think we have to come back and say, hey, God didn't reveal it for a purpose. And I'm not going to speculate on it, because my speculations might lead me down a wrong path.
Your speculator might.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we have to stick with what the Word says, not what we think it says, not what we imagine that it says. We just have to stick with what it says and be content right there.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And friends, in mid-October, Basic Gospel's Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley of the Grace Message team up to bring you an exciting Bible conference called United. And that's what these two ministries are, United. You can be sure that it will be filled with the message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the information and registration is now open at United, for United, October 15th through the 17th at our ministry headquarters, hometown here in Lewisville, Texas. Just visit BasicGospel.net/United and join us for this very special event. Again, all the information available at BasicGospel.net/United.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Christina, listening to us on the Word FM. Hi, Christina.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You are so welcome. Thanks for calling.
Of course. I really respect you guys, and so my question is very difficult. And we have a family member that's living in sin with her boyfriend, and they have a child together. Because of the culture, the wedding has become more important than the actual, you know, marriage. So they're trying to save up money for this, you know, wedding that they want. Recently, they asked if we could come over and watch the baby while they go out and spend the night somewhere for a birthday. And I told my husband, absolutely not. But he was very upset. And I said, I can't, in good conscience, help them. So I just need to know, and if this is not a right or wrong, like, is he right or am I right? I want to know what Jesus would have us do.
Well, that's a good question, Christina. And there's a couple of levels of this question.
Okay.
So the first level is this, the relationship between you and your husband. So obviously y'all have a disagreement on how you should handle this. Is it okay to go and babysit their child while they go out for an evening or to spend the night somewhere? You think one thing, he thinks another. Well, I would say, hey, that's cause to spend more time talking through the issue, and the two of you coming to some agreement, some unity in that, so y'all can make a decision together on what you're going to do, and you can back one another. So that's an important piece of this. The second thing, I guess they've been living together for a while, and they have this child, and is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And there is a plan in place for them to be married?
We think so, yes. But they keep postponing it because of wanting, you know, a grander, you know, event.
Yeah. Well, here's what I would suggest for you to do, Christina, is to, and maybe you and your husband can do this, is to sit down with them and make this suggestion, to go and you know, find somebody that can marry them just in a very private, a very quaint, intimate ceremony.
Yes.
And to go ahead and get married, and then plan for a wedding to really celebrate that fact somewhere in the future. I think that's the best way forward. Is she in Christ, and is he in Christ? Do we know what their relationship with the Lord is?
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that. On their first date, I asked him if he loves Jesus, and I was slaughtered by the family for asking such a ridiculous question. And I said to him, and he goes, well, I'm not sure. And I said, that's okay. I mean, I get that you're not sure, but I would like to see you in eternity with me. I said, you seem like a really nice person, but nice people go to hell. And it was kind of like, you know, like, I think there's a misconception is Jesus is the way. And I just wanted to know where he stood. So he is talking to my husband more and more about Christ, and my husband's trying to help him. She says she is a believer, but there's no fruit. Yeah. So, you know, there you go. I mean, yeah. You know.
Well, Christina, a couple of things. I'd love to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And something that as a resource that you might can put into his hands, because it really lays out the gospel. And, you know, when you look at the Word of God and all that it says about marriage, there's not a whole lot, but what is said is very consistent. And so when Pharisees ask Jesus about marriage and is it okay for is it legally okay for someone to divorce their wives? Jesus always says, well, you're asking based on the law. I'm going to take you all the way back to the beginning. And the beginning is one man, one wife, together as one forever. That's what marriage is. Well, the gospel is the very thing that can equip a man and a woman to actually carry out God's original design for marriage. Otherwise, they're going to struggle. So that's, you know, that's why cohabiting is not a thing that the Word of God condones. It's not something the Word of God would say people should do. As a matter of fact, it would be just the opposite. Why? Because God wants to equip man and woman first spiritually so they can carry out the fruit of that spiritual union with Christ through this thing called marriage. So I would just encourage you and your husband to continue to talk to both of them about the gospel, about the good news of Jesus Christ and how there's life found in him. And when God breathes new life into somebody, then they're equipped to share that life in this thing called marriage.
Amen.
So let me do this, Christina. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you this book, and we would love to journey along with you on this. So keep us posted, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks. Thank you so much, and God bless you both.
Thank you, Christina. You hold on.
Thanks for joining us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. If you have unanswered questions remaining concerning the Christian life, a Bible passage you can't quite understand, or maybe an issue you're finding hard to deal with, as I've said, well, just give us a call at 844-322-2742, and you'll hear your question discussed on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the same time. Have your questions ready. We'd love to address them on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.